So we are joined, of course, that voice you heard, that was Tony Olson.
Hello.
And you manage the Freedom Haven project,
yep.
Is that right? And
yep.
That is right across the street from us, basically, and it's part of the Silk Road, which, for those who've never been here, Rogers Campground has a lot of roads, and you're supposed to walk all the way up one if you want to get to the other side.
Even walkers have to do that?
Yes.
What
yep.
the?
Technically. I mean, otherwise you're cutting through someone's campsite.
Oh, no, I see what you're saying. But you can walk up or down the road, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got a little confused there. I was like, what? The cars can
and
only
the Silk
go
Road
down.
Is everyone who says, please, come walk on our site. We want you to walk on our site. It's brilliant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, most people here aren't going to get terribly upset if you cut through their site anyway, because you probably know most of them. Like, if I want to go see Sean over at Chuck Wagon Soda, or whatever he's calling himself now, I'm just going to cut through these sites here, because I know all these people, and they're not going to care at all that I cut through their sites. So tell us about the Freedom Haven Project, because you are right there, like, you put your site literally on the Silk Road. Like,
yep.
It's right beside one of your picnic tables. So what is it that you guys do there other than giving away free pancakes?
And the free pancakes is, of course, to get everyone to come to the site so we can actually find those who are interested in finding more about the project. We don't pitch the project to people eating the pancakes, but people eating the pancakes ask us questions about the project, and we can tell more about it. The project itself is to bring the free market to the high seas. There has been, in the past, years ago, decades ago, contention between different countries over who has what jurisdiction on the seas.
Right.
Nine Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea kind of settled that, but it also established that 200 nautical miles from shore, most of the time, is where their jurisdiction ends. There are some caveats on it. You have to have a flag of convenience, and that loops you into certain laws. But you could end up with about 99% of the socioeconomic freedom you're seeking, which is pretty good now. And if we're recognized as a nation in the future, then we could actually offer 100% of the socioeconomic freedom you're seeking.
How many people are doing this right now?
There are individuals on their own little boats doing this all the time.
Okay.
They go outside there and they spend a couple of months, but they're just burning through their food and fuel until they have to come back to shore again. They're not actually producing wealth. Mm. They're actually just living on their wealth. Our goal is to have a population at least the size of Porkfest, where you can have a thriving local thriving local marketplace, and also be a port city so that the ships come to us. We never go to shore. We're always outside the exclusive economic zone. And when it's time to switch ships because our ship finally dies, then we'll just switch to a new ship. And everything's modular, so you can just plop it over.
You mentioned people consuming their resources, and I can see why that would be a problem, right? Like, you would have to have some sort of contact with the mainland, because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not much arable farmland out in the open sea.
Yeah, there is tons of it on floating barges, but it's so expensive that it's cheaper to ship corn all the way from Iowa, halfway around the world to us. Just like you get cheap bananas at the store, global shipping is coming incredibly cheap.
I had no idea that people grow food in the middle of the ocean on barges.
It's not very cost effective. It's not very economical.
But it's independent.
Farms.
Is that the reason they do it?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Well, if you don't want to switch your boat every time it goes bad, you could be like the ship of Theseus and replace it one board at a time.
The ship of Theseus.
Theseus, yeah. I had to Google the name.
So how is the project going? Because I feel like we've talked to you about the Freedom Haven Project and various seasteading projects over the years. Has there been any momentum in recent? Because the last I remember, and this was like before I went to prison, so my memory's a little fuzzy, but someone... a seasteader had gotten near some Southeast Asian country.
Yep.
Thailand.
Is that what it was?
Chad and Nadia off the shore of Thailand. And they made the mistake of, I'm friends with them, and I love them to pieces, but they made the mistake of looking at where does that freedom start. They used the word international waters, but the international law never mentioned international waters, which means depending on who you're talking to, it means different things. So they were beyond the 12 nautical miles of shore, but they're still within the exclusive economic zone, which means they're still part of Thailand. What Thailand did to them in seizing their vessel and accusing them of treason was terrible, but technically illegal.
Yeah.
So they weren't out far enough. And they're also just one vessel, so they're just like another yacht out there. They're not really producing wealth. They're just burning through their substantial wealth.
Well, that's unfortunate, but that happens a lot, where the government does a thing that is evil and awful and despicable, but technically they've given themselves the authority to do it.
Yep.
And warrants come to mind, because when I got raided on March the 16th, they asked me if I wanted to see the warrant, and my response was, what's the point? you guys kicked in my door and pointed guns at me. What difference does it make if you have a sheet of paper that your own team authorized you to have?
You know why I wanted to see the warrant is because the guy I asked about it didn't know why he was raiding my house. He was like, it has something to do with Bitcoin. We'll show you the warrant. I was like, you're
terrible.
Agreeing to do this and you don't even know why? So it's not even like that they are more, they don't even have the opportunity to be moral if they don't know why they're raiding your house. They're
well, there's nothing
orders.
Moral about the warrants, right? Because it's a one-side consent contract.
But like, they don't have the opportunity to say like, oh, well, we had pretty good proof this guy murdered somebody, so I feel good about raiding his house. If you don't even ask, if you're just like, oh, raid this guy's house, sure. You know?
True.
Ugh, crazy.
Well, obviously the people must be guilty, otherwise they wouldn't be accused, is what a lot of people think of, and that's terrible.
There are people in prison, in federal prison, who say stuff like that. Like, people who have been victimized by the system. Like, there was this one old dude, this Romanian gypsy named Adrian, who he said exactly that. He was like, well, I knew I must have done something illegal because the FBI was interrogating me.
Whoa.
Did you hear the crazy crap that just came out of your mouth, dude? You're exactly why juries always vote guilty.
Yeah.
Stop thinking that way.
I noticed that the visitors at the jail were way more likely to be that way than the visitors at Ian's current prison. The visitors at the prison say things like, yep, you know, Uncle Sam always wins, but he didn't do anything wrong, blah, blah, blah. And I like the visitors at the prison way more because of that.
There are two differences on the high seas that give an advantage for freedom. One is that, like, at the federal level, they've lost track of even the number of laws that even exist. There's tens of thousands of laws. They can't even tell you the number of pages. They do have it all bound in various volumes, but it's just an estimate of how many even pages or laws, whatever there are. But on the high seas, if you're going like the flag of Liberia, there are certain international laws that they've tied themselves to, and their maritime laws, that affect the crew and the ship, but not the passengers. There's only about 10 laws that affect the passengers. So you actually have like 99% of your freedoms you're looking for out there. There's still that 1% of stupid stuff that you still have required to do, that they're requiring you to do. But once we are recognized as our own country, we can get rid of all that as well. And if a country comes after you, it's different than just quietly taking you away in the middle of the night in their own country.
Right.
It's an international incident, especially with like Starlink and all these other things. We're going to be on the air 24/7. This will be public. This will be visible. Everyone will know exactly what will happen.
Oh, you're going
to be streaming? We'll stream everything, every day, every hour.
That's, man, I hear like things about Starlink all the time that just make me think, wow, what a good thing. Like, we covered this story where it was like the title and the angle of the article was trying to make it look like a bad thing that internet came to this tribe in the Amazon. It was like, now they're addicted to porn and stuff like that. But it was because Starlink came around that these people first got access to the internet, and they were like kind of addicted in a way because, wow, I went from knowing this amount of things to everything all at once.
Right.
And like, it's not like every single one got addicted to porn, but like it's a good thing.
They cherry
not
pick.
A bad thing. Mm-hmm.
Starlink is awesome. I love Starlink. I have Starlink at home.
It's brought internet to so many places where it never has been.
Yep.
Like those high seas.
I like the visionary nature of seasteading. I'm not sold on it, but I like the visionary nature. Because I'm looking longer term, and I suspect that we won't really be able to achieve one of these societies until we're out there like colonizing a moon or a planet or something. I realize that's centuries upon centuries off. And seasteading is something we can do now.
Yeah.
But I suspect the same sort of pioneering desire for liberty will motivate people in the future to say, you know what, that moon kind of sucks. No one's going to want it. Just like no one wants to, not no one, but very few people would choose to live in the open sea all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you go out of your way to learn about like animals in the sea? Like, do you know what would, if a like whale would attack or a giant squid? I really don't know if, like, I've never looked into it, you know? So I'd be always afraid that giant squid was going to come attack.
I've not heard anything like that.
Yeah.
I suspect
it's very rare.
There are actually thousands of people that would want to live there today, and we found those people. The problem is here, as much as freedom as we've lost, we haven't lost enough freedom to make us be willing to become political refugees ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not willing to leave our country for it. But other people in the world, millions of people in the world, already have done that. And they'd be willing to, they may not understand freedom, they may not understand why freedom works, but if we tell them, here are your rules, you mean that murder, kidnap and steal, and here's what it means, and if you do that, you're getting kicked out. And that's it. That's it. Those are all the laws. And that they may not understand why, they may not even believe the philosophy of it, but if they abide by it, you have yourself a free market.
Exactly.
So those people are lining up. The only thing that's missing is is basically just investors who want to say, okay, we have this cheap labor force. We just need to provide them with cheap housing in these areas. They have an increase of their standard of living, and you have your cheap labor, and you can export the things that free markets do better, like medical industry.
What
and
kind of
win-win.
Stuff could you manufacture on the on a ship?
Medical stuff is usually the biggest one. That and data centers, anything you want the federal government not to be controlling and taking.
Okay. So Bitcoin exchanges would be good there.
Yeah, actually, exchanges would be very big there. Any kind of exchange. Because you,
not that I condone that sort of thing.
an
observation.
I am being legal in everything, but I look forward to the day where that won't matter anymore.
So you mentioned investors and that being the main problem. It sounds like a monumentally expensive project. Are we talking like trillions or upper billions? What are we talking
here? The estimate for about 3 years ago, and inflation is constantly going to change this estimate, unfortunately, right. Was about $260 million. For four cabins and the maintenance for the course of 10 years. And that includes a ship, which is about $160 million, which
pricey.
Is a lot, but it comes down to about $65,000 per cabin for 10 years. So basically, I could go out and live out there. It doesn't include food or water or electricity. A free market would provide that with competing prices. But I could go out there and live there for 10 years for $65,000 or basically $6,500 a month. If I paid the whole thing in advance.
Okay, oh, wow. So you're sort of trying to crowdsource it, I guess, by getting people with the money to sign up and pledge, similar to the Free State Project.
Yes, and perhaps that's the wrong approach. Maybe the approach I need to take is finding businesses who want to open up businesses there, and then the workers would come with that, because it has been very difficult to crowdsource, find enough people who would be willing to actually do this on an individual basis. We have maybe 100 people. We need 4,000. So
it's a big ask,
you know?
To... Because you mentioned that we haven't lost enough liberties in the United States, and that's true, but we have lost a lot of liberties. But I think the bigger concern is that it's so comfortable to live here, and it's not comfortable being a pioneer.
Like, I think about even if I went to another country that had the same amount of laws as the United States, but it didn't have, like, Walmarts everywhere and, like, just all the stuff that America has, but I don't think I would go.
You would, though. Hmm. Here, you would have... all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I live in Keokuk, Iowa. Okay, that's a landlocked state, but I didn't always live there. But we have, with 10,000 people, we have a Super Walmart. We have big grocery stores. We have Aldi. We have all those things, infrastructure. 10,000 people is enough to justify all that, which means out there, we would have the same thing.
So to me, it's not necessarily about the shops as much as the fact that, like, interacting with the same 4,000 people every day over the next 10 years is kind of a bleak prospect.
But that's temporary, because as soon as we're out there and it shows that this works, this is a seed. And once this has been there for even just a year, you're going to have other ships showing up.
Possibly.
Our ship will also...
I mean, you
true.
Can't guarantee that.
That's true. That's true.
And we can't get more than 100 signers at the moment. It seems unlikely that people are going to go, hey, that actually works. That's all we needed to know.
I think that right now, it being such a just a thought, and then if it was like something that people could point to, look, it's actually happening, people are actually living it, that might garner more attention.
Like, that doesn't necessarily mean they are all Americans. I imagine that the first generation might be mostly other people and businessmen who want to invest in the profitability of a free market.
Sure.
I should also point out that Mark Edge's Freedom Kingdom in Honduras is a thing happening right now.
Is that still happening?
It's happening, and it's not like it's gotten a whole bunch of attention. And I think it's the same problem Aria has, because my problem when I think of Marx is I like just drive just now. Before I came to the place where we have our setup here at the campground, I went to a town called Littleton, like 30 minutes away and back. I basically live for stuff like that. Like, just like, oh, and look at the mountains over there. Like, I can't imagine living on an island. Like, I feel like I would go crazy so fast.
It would probably be more like living in a big city like New York City, where you go out, you look out the window, you see the next building. You don't see the beautiful mountains in the background, but you do see other things. The ocean is full of beauty under the ocean that people live for. There's
cool.
No corals out there right now. But there's going to be corals growing around that area, and fish come to wherever these things are positioned.
You could have diving, and even like people might build things where you can just go into it and you look around at the sea. That would definitely be cool.
And no doubt about it. Between land and the ocean, I definitely prefer for land. I mean, it's cheaper, it's easier, but
right,
my freedom is worth that much to me. Yeah.
So tell me where people can go to learn about this. You guys got a website, I assume?
Yep. Freedomhaven.org, FreedomHaven.org.
And you are right over here. What is your site number for people who are listening to the show tomorrow night and want to stop by on Thursday or Friday?
RV 35, and we have 5 different presentations we're doing throughout the.
All right, fantastic.
Oh, at the pavilion?
None of them at the pavilion.
Oh, at your site.
I don't know. Once at our site, a tour at the file card field.
So come down to RV 35 and hang out with them. There's more coming up here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is Free Talk Live.